Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Pettycast time. Tuesday, 8 o'clock. I mean, we're petty all the time, as Seth pointed out, but we really... turn it up
you
a couple notches.
You let your petty flag fly.
Yeah.
Why am I yawning? What the hell? That's not like me. I'm not a yawner.
We did a two-hour show yesterday. We're into new territory this week. 8:02.
Count on my hands the bushed. Times I've yawned in the morning in the last 20 years of my life.
That's true. You don't yawn very much.
Yeah. This segment's going to suck.
Let's get petty. No, well, I'll get petty if the segment sucks. All right, so let's get to this here. And text in your petties, 713-572-4610. We'll read some of them here. This is right out of the chute, and this plays off of what we were just talking about, Derek Stingley Jr. This was the call. We heard Mark Vandermeer's call on the radio of the second interception. Fantastic. Here was Kevin Harlan's call of the Derek Stingley Jr. second interception on the CBS broadcast on Sunday.
Here's a one pass, looking for Hill, and it's picked off! It's intercepted! Stingley's done it again! Stingley has done it again!
This is to all you national announcers out there.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are behind Kevin Harlan in the pecking order at CBS. One in particular who does the Amazon games every Thursday.
Mm.
That is how you do a national broadcast of a huge interception at the end of a game.
Mm-hmm.
You scream like you are announcing for the team that just made that play like Kevin Harlan did.
You do the play justice. You
yes.
give it the respect it deserves.
And you tag it with something people are going to remember. He did it again!
Ooh, he did it again.
He did it again! Kevin Harlan's the best in the business right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He crosses over sports.
People love to say when you're talking about announcers, well, it's not like I watch a game because of the announcer. I will watch a game longer. I've noticed this. It wasn't anything I was consciously doing. It's just fun to watch a game that Kevin Harlan's doing. One, because he's so good with the calls, but two, because he's got a genuine personality.
Yes.
Like, he sprinkles in humor. He can have a conversation with his color. I feel like he makes the color commentators he's with better. He kind of adjusts to their personalities. He is the consummate professional in so many ways.
He's
when it
so
comes to
good.
That.
I think Ian Eagle's really good, too. I think he's excellent. Kevin Harlan, man.
Harlan's the rare play-by-play where you're like, yeah, I'd like to have a beer with this guy.
For sure.
He's not just going to be talking in his announcer voice the whole time.
No, for sure.
But even if he was, I wouldn't complain.
No.
I wouldn't mind.
No, it'd be beautiful. As long as he gets appropriately excited about things happening around us. You know, like we're at a food court or something like that.
He's
like,
Seth going with the IPA. He's ready for action tonight.
That guy just dropped three slices of pizza on the floor. Yeah, so...
This is the worst waitress yeah. I've ever seen.
Yeah. So Harlan, man. So that's my petty. I'm petty. I get petty with Al
petty
Michaels.
About every
I'm
other.
I'm petty about okay. Al Michaels. And you defend him sometimes.
I mean, he's old.
Right.
It's not my fault.
I want my broadcast to have some juice.
You can't say, hey, Al Michaels, take some notes from Kevin Harlan.
Yes, I can. I just did.
Al Michaels, all he did was spend decades and decades being awesome. And now he's old.
On my TV.
But he doesn't need notes from Kevin Harlan.
You're not doing the petty cast.
Hey, Al Michaels. Oh, yeah, that's right. God, I'm sorry. Dang it. All right, yeah, Al Michaels.
Thank you.
Why don't you go retire to the villages
just
already?
Just fake it.
You're riding a golf court to brunch.
Good job, Seth.
Damn it.
All right. This was after this next petty is not me nor Seth being petty. We know there was a lot of petty going on in Philadelphia over the last several days with Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, A.J. Brown getting asked after a win over the Panthers a couple of weeks ago, what needs to get improved? Passing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, made no bones about it. Brandon Graham goes on WIP, defensive end for the Eagles, confirming, oh, yeah, there's beef between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. So they go out this weekend in their game against the Steelers, and they light it up. Jalen Hurts throws for 300 yards. A.J. Brown has 8 catches for 110 yards. Jalen Hurts comes into the postgame press conference, immediately sits down and says this.
So that's what y'all want to see, huh?
That's like, it.
Yeah. Right.
Wasn't asked a question.
Yes.
Sits down. So you know he was carrying that around in his head, petty style.
That's what you guys wanted to see.
Yeah, huh? I'm going to give it to the media today, man.
Yeah. No, I don't. That's the classic. We get it a lot of times where a player will be playing really badly and you point it out, and then the player has a good game. And they're like, oh, what do you say now?
Right.
I'm like, yes, that's the performances I'd like to see
you
out of that player.
Good game.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Does that somehow change the fact that he was playing poorly beforehand?
Right.
Yeah. I like it because the Eagles are, they seem like no matter how well they're playing, they seem like they're precariously close to going completely off the rails. Nick Sirianni got into it with the defensive line coach in that game.
That was awesome.
Nick Sirianni went over and he was gonna tear into Jalen Carter for a mistake he'd made, and the D-line coach, Clint Hurt with 2 T's. It's a hell of a name.
Oh, that's how you know he's tough. Got
in Sirianni's face. And
yeah.
The way I read it was kind of like, hey, I'll take care of it.
Stepped in like a bouncer. You know, yeah. Sirianni looked like
Clint Hurt's a former University of Miami defensive lineman. He's a big guy.
He's a big dude, and Sirianni's walking up like he's some sort of one of those worms that's trying to sneak into the bar, and Hurt just like steps in, arms folded, like, sir, are you on the list to talk to Jalen Carter?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. I'm the head coach. Not today, sir.
You're not getting today into the VIP room.
Not today.
You don't get to talk to
D-line,
my guy.
The D-line huddle. Yeah. The VIP room. Yes. All right, so Jalen Hurts, very, very petty, I would say.
Good. That's good pettiness by you. Keep up that petty energy.
Yeah,
Jalen
absolutely.
Hurts.
If it's working, you guys are 12-2. It's working for you right now. I'm petty that Ryan Poles still has a job as a general manager in the NFL. You know, Ryan Poles has been on my radar since he was hired in Chicago because for 2 years, there was not an interview that he was asked to do that he didn't say yes to, seemingly.
Yeah.
Seemingly. When
he went to my rival high school, by the way.
That's right.
He's a Canandaigua Brave.
Yep.
I'm sure they probably changed that.
So you've probably got some.
He's a Canandaigua Red Raider or something. Oh, I don't know. Right.
Canandaigua Duck.
Yeah.
So there's a story that came out, I believe in The Athletic. If it's not The Athletic, I apologize. But the story was that Ryan Poles, as we know, hired Matt Eberflus as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And apparently, Eberflus, who'd done a decent job coordinating the Indianapolis Colts defense, had been a candidate in previous cycles, was a finalist for Jacksonville in 2022. But he was apparently about to get fired by the Colts when Eberflus, or when Poles hired him. That's the, like, Poles is like veering from, like, quickly from Starchild to joke
right
in Chicago.
And he was getting all this love and praise and admiration for the incredible job he's doing, and I would get petty because basically I just kept thinking, where was all of this for Jeff Luhnow back when Jeff Luhnow, what he was, oh no, Jeff Luhnow's the dumbest GM in baseball, etc. back in 2013-2014. Poles basically running the same script, but he's being treated like a conquering hero, despite not winning, despite passing on various other courts. I like this.
Ryan
and
Poles.
A lot of that was just by inviting. He basically allowed a bunch of national reporters to be embedded reporters. It gave him access, and they just lapped it up.
Yes. Yeah.
He played the media game well.
Yeah.
He honestly, like, that's what Maury was really good at that, too. Maury was... because he kind of invited the media in and gave him, like, let him see how the sausage was made. I mean, but it worked for him, and he had a lot more success than Ryan. Like, he had way more success than Ryan Poles has even sniffed.
Never won a title, but Daryl's teams were, even when they were in rebuild mode, they stayed competitive. And then when they got James Harden, they were off to the races as far as being a really highly competitive team. People texting in, Pettycast, Trent Green brought up his concussion that he suffered at NRG Stadium.
And Travis Johnson.
Shout out to Travis Johnson, the text says.
Well, and the whole reason, that whole thing was, too, it wasn't that it was a dirty hit or anything.
Stood over him.
Well, yeah, it was they were upset that Travis, okay, so Trent Green tried to do a low block on Travis.
down at his knees.
And he concussed himself.
Yes.
And Travis basically was like, oh, you try to take my knees out, that's what you get.
Yep.
Which, yeah. And I like, Trent Green seems like a swell fella, but yeah, that was I was 100% with on board with Travis doing that. That was a year after I was gone.
It was 2000.
I texted Travis because Travis handled it well in the media afterwards.
Well,
that game.
If I remember it correctly, because I was in the locker room after that game, and Travis had a lot of things to say, was ready to go off on this whole thing at his locker. And I don't remember if he said anything there or if he got pulled away. He got pulled away.
Yeah.
I can't remember if he had gotten off a few missiles at Trent Green before or after. But Kevin Cooper or somebody from the PR team, it might have still been Tony Wiley at that point.
He's probably, okay.
Pulled him out of the locker room.
Yeah.
He came back into the locker room. He looked like Jack Nicholson at the end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Like he'd just been lobotomized.
Oh.
And gave a very like politically correct answer to the standing over Trent Green taunting him questions.
They hit him with a Trent dart.
I'm like, and I was very new to media at that point. I'm like, oh, that's how this works. Okay, So anyways, shout out to Travis Johnson. We love Trap J. All right, Ryan Clark. This is pretty petty here. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you saw this quote the past week, Seth, but Aaron Rodgers was lamenting the fact that everybody has opinions on the radio and TV about things these days. There's these shows now where all they do is just give out their opinions about things like Aaron Rodgers in New York. And several people in our profession pointed out, like, bro, you go on one of these shows. You get paid millions of dollars to go on one of these shows every week. The Pat McAfee show. Like, what are you talking about here? You're somebody who is, by your own mere presence, elevating one of those very mediums that you're talking about.
Right.
Ryan Clark, not a fan of Aaron Rodgers.
My biggest problem with Aaron Rodgers, because to me, I'm actually not upset about what he's saying, because I ain't no hit dog. And you know, a hit dog, a holler. Mm-hmm. My issue with him is you're doing the exact same thing.
You're doing it too.
And the reason that you're getting this opportunity to say these asinine things is because someone is paying you who is exactly the same thing that you are now speaking out against. Yeah. This dude is once again tone deaf. This dude is once again unaware. This dude is once again arrogant to a point that's almost sickening, because he says these things and he talks tough and he behaves in this way, but he ain't. Right. He has all of this cachet because he's a good player. But they ain't people around here that come around and talk about what type of leader you are. They ain't people that come around here and talk about wanting to follow you because of the type of man you have been. This dude is a fraud. Right. He's been a fraud, and he could throw a football, and that's where it stops. Once that talent ends, so does him. And so does he. And so to sit up there, man, and to be just blatantly hypocritical is funny and sickening at the same time.
Yeah, that is petty cast material.
Yeah, I like that. That was good petty.
You're a fraud.
That was, I always wondered with the Steelers too, especially because they got a real strong culture that is endured across different football generations.
Yeah.
I think he probably looks at Aaron Rodgers like, that's not a Steeler. That's not the kind of guy that would be, you know, we wouldn't look at him the same way we might have looked at a guy like Ben Roethlisberger.
And yet Russell Wilson exists in that ecosystem.
Russell Wilson, though, too. I wonder if, like, how Ryan Clark really feels about Russell Wilson's Steeler ethos and all that.
You know, we haven't seen a lot of Russ, though. Like, we haven't seen, like, you know, doing his little corny catchphrases.
It almost feels like maybe by osmosis or because they had a talking to. Kind of like, hey, listen, this whole trademarking of brand stuff and everything, people don't really bite on that
the
around
here.
The
last thing I want to do during a pettycast is give Russell Wilson credit for anything.
Yeah.
He's not been a story there this year, at least.
No, yeah, there's a little bit of Southern Belle to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
you know, there's a little bit of like he'll do the exact same thing, but act like, I'm above that.
Right.
No, I would never point out that, you know, as I criticize people talking to the media and giving leaks, that I will divulge that, yeah, the locker room is in disarray, because that's not something you tell the media. Mm-hmm. As you're saying it to the media.
Right.
I do think there's sometimes with Aaron Rodgers where he might not genuinely realize that he's on ESPN.
I think he's
just having a, like, he's on some low-key podcast with Pat McAfee
it's
or something.
It's the danger of the podcast, man. You feel like you're just having a convo with your buddies.
But it's not. You're on ESPN. It's you're on this platform airing dirty laundry.
Yes.
You're airing dirty laundry, and you're... by criticizing people who would air dirty laundry. It's 100%, weird. It's weird.
100%. I feel like on the Pettycast, Andre Johnson talking about Indianapolis is worth revisiting. We played this yesterday. Yeah, we'll play it during the Pettycast. Here's Andre Johnson on, speaking of Ryan Clark, on the Pivot Podcast, talking about what was the worst year of his NFL career.
The year I was in Indy, the first year after I left here, man, that was probably like the most, one of the most miserablest times, you know, of my life. Like, I enjoy being around the guys in the locker room, but as far as like outside of that,
right?
It was, man, that's the most I probably ever slept. Like,
I feel you.
You know, so that was, those are the things I would say I would change. As far as like leaving here, no, I would have still stayed. They weren't going to let me leave anyway. I mean, I remember Rick Smith telling me, he said, you're retired before I let you leave.
Yeah, and he left. Left, went to Indy, and he had the most miserable year of his career there.
Yeah, slept more than anybody's ever slept
41
before.
41 catches.
He was basically, Verlander would be like, yeah, that's good that you were sleeping that much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, not out of depression.
Verlander, Kikuchi would love it. Remember Kikuchi slept like 14 hours a day.
Yeah, well, the nights before he pitches.
Starts, yeah.
The nights before starts. You more got the sense that was not intentionally sleeping as much as you've ever slept, but it was because he was depressed.
There's nothing to do. Yeah,
it's a bad sign.
It's gray. It's dreary. Starting in like October.
Now I'm doubly.
The sun never comes
out. I doubly hate the city of Indianapolis now because of the emotional pain they caused Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
By being such a drab, boring city.
It was so bad for him. What did he do the next year? Went to Tennessee.
Right.
Thinking it would be an upgrade.
I'm going to need a different version of at least better tanned inbreds.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't. If I'm going to be sitting playing in front of a stadium full of inbreds,
yes,
at least down here they've got a little some, you know, hills and country.
It's
and
prettier.
Stuff. Yeah.
It's good country music.
Weather's a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, good country music. That was the big pull.
Yeah, for Andre.
And I used to sit around talking about country music.
Oh,
all the
time. Yeah. Debate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Toby Keith versus George Strait.
Yeah.
I can see you guys doing that. Pettycast. This is the text page. Ian Rappaport had the nerve. Okay, this is a good petty.
Here we go.
When somebody has the nerve to do something, Ian Rappaport had the nerve to tweet Stingley's amazing interception on Sunday as a national introduction to him. Like, what's he talking about? He was the third overall pick in the draft. He was the best cornerback his freshman year in the country at LSU, and he comes from an NFL lineage back to his grandfather, Daryl Stingley.
Yeah, and he's had some good games in nationally televised games before.
He's got 11 interceptions in like a year and a half.
So that was the introduction. So now you got the stamp of approval from Ian Rappaport.
Right.
All that tells me is that Rappaport must not be best texting buds with Stingley's agent. The way those guys operate.
Yep.
Like, who's back am I rubbing with this tweet or
whatnot?
That's right. Who's Stingley's agent? Is it Mulligetta?
I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
A bunch of our listeners will know. They'll text him.
Yeah, it's on Spot Rack. We'll find it. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. That was a Pettycast. That was fun. A lot of petty going on. Keep texting in. We'll read them. 713-572-4610. Let's circle over to the Astros. We dug in on the Kyle Tucker trade yesterday. There's a lot of tentacles to this, though. What does it mean for Framber Valdez? And let's get Dana Brown's thoughts on what I think is the crown jewel, hopefully, of this trade. Did Dana Brown address our concerns, basically, when he met with the media on Friday? We'll dig into that coming up next.